Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We continue to cover the story and the developments in the Middle East, particularly with regard to the US and Iran, and wonder and we contemplate what is likely to happen. The latest strikes, of course, have understandably raised the pressure and the temperature in the region. Joining us is Dr. Dan Dyker, President of Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us once again. I hope you are well.
Thank you very much. Great to join you. I'm actually in London for the championships, believe it or not.
Oh.
But following developments very closely in our region. And as you can see, you and I have chatted about on Hi FM over the last weeks. I was very suspect that this Memory of Understanding framework would hold. And here we are three weeks into the framework, and the framework appears to be self-destructing, to put it diplomatically.
So do you think that this was about giving Iran enough metaphorical rope to hang itself? Or was there a genuine belief, and of course we can't know this, but I'm just interested in your view, was there genuine belief or hope or optimism that this would lead to a greater agreement?
It does seem that following and assessing the Trump administration, which you know, led by President Trump, who is an economic warrior and who, in my assessment, believed very strongly that enough massive economic strangulation of the regime, which had been very much his strategy and the execution of his strategy, together with almost 2 months of massive military strikes that did degrade significantly the regime's capability, both in terms of firing ballistic missiles and as well as drones, and significantly destroyed much of, not all, but much of its nuclear capability, would bring them to the table. It's a Western way of looking at asymmetric warfare. And here you have the regime, which understood that the war was, they would no longer prosecute a military terror war. They would really prosecute an economic war. And their view, and we could see it in the MOU, in the so-called Memorandum of Understanding, is that if they were able to control the Straits of Hormuz by firing a rocket here and by closing the straits there, which is exactly what they did, they would provoke the United States back into action, which from the Iranian regime point of view was the strategy to defeat Donald Trump at the midterm elections. That's all they wanted to do, bring him back into kinetic counter-terror or counter-Iranian economic regime operations. And that would be enough for the American people to say, no. We don't want oil going back to $120 a barrel. We don't want gas going back up to $5 a gallon at the pump. We don't want food prices shooting up, inflation shooting up. That is very much going to determine what they vote on November the 3rd. And that is the Iranian strategy. But it's a very dangerous one for the Iranians, because they can choke and die economically by the same token, this economic strategy, what's called the Straits of Hormuz strategy, can actually boomerang against the regime if the United States uses strategic patience and very strong political and military will.
The fact is that the U.S. had very little choice but to respond, and to respond quite strongly, given that Iran was testing them and would have proven to Iran that the United States is either weak or desperate for this MOU to happen. That said, there's little doubt that the U.S. responded very, very vigorously. I'm still amazed, though, that there are so many military targets left for the U.S. to attack. What do we understand about what the position in Iran actually is?
Well, there are many targets left to attack in Iran, and we've been saying this now for weeks. I mean, Iran has been left with hundreds, if not well over 1,000 ballistic missiles, which they have hidden in places like Iraq, in underground storage facilities. They have a lot of Howard. They have a lot of what are known as these killer drones, and they have their proxies. They have the terror proxies in place. Hezbollah is still in place, and it's fighting heartily against against Israel, firing on the Jewish, Christian, and Muslim communities in northern Israel. They have the Houthis, the Yemen-based Houthis, which are all an Iranian regime loyal terror proxy. They've got Hamas re-strengthening, rearming, resupplying in the Gaza Strip. So they've got a network in place, a terror network in place, and they definitely have many other targets that had not been hit. And let's remember, the Iranian regime, an apocalyptic, jihadistic, messianic regime, will never raise the white flag, period. And this is what it's very difficult for people of Western orientation, rational people, to understand the way the Western way that fight the Western way of war, to understand how the Eastern, if you will, or the war in the Middle East is conducted, especially against a radical Shiite regime such as this, which will fight to the death in order to bring out the reemergence of the Shiite Messiah, the Mahdi. This is the underlying calculation. Now, as I said just a minute ago, the regime may be overplaying its cards. It all depends on the determination of the United States, if they're willing to go the route. I mean, if Trump says, you know, there is no way that I'm going to allow this Hormuz, what essentially become a Hormuz Death Valley, if you will, or Death Straits, to continue to, they basically stop shipping. The Iranian regime, with all of the weaknesses you pointed out just a minute ago, they're very, very weak compared to where they were in the pre-February 28th attack. And still, look what they're capable of doing. If you look at the numbers of the number of ships that are transiting through the straits at the choke point through the Straits of Hormuz, it's down to a trickle. It's down to 24. Now, this is the Iranian regime saying, well, we said in the MOU that we would use our best efforts in order to free up the streets. In other words, according to the language itself, it seems implicit, Howard, that the Iranian regime understood in the United States, you can argue, agreed that the Iranian regime basically not only controls the straits, but actually has ownership rights on the straits. That is the implication of what was written, and it's definitely the assumption of the Iranian regime. It's incredible. And what had happened was, just so our listeners understand, the United States had found had been helping ships pass through the Omani. There's a section of the straits that are very close to the Sultanate of Oman. And the Iranians didn't like that because there were more and more ships passing through. The Iranians said, no, 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 we need to be in control. They need to come through the straits that are closer to the Islamic Republic. And that's why the Iranian regime, the Islamic Republic, fired on those three commercial ships passing very close to Oman. And that's what triggered this entire imbroglio. But we have to really understand that this is the Iranian strategy. And if the United States fails to respond with massive force, massive determination, then the Iranian regime will be seen to have won, and Trump will be very hard pressed to win in these upcoming elections in the United States. The Republican Party, yes, would be very hard pressed to see winning both the House of Representatives votes, which is a very tight vote, as well as keeping the Senate towards the Republican side in the upcoming November elections.
Whereas I might have been fairly optimistic about a change in regime, the people of Iran finally achieving their freedom, when I listen to you, what concerns me is that even if there is a regime change, and even if there is a move to democracy, which the people of Iran so desperately need and deserve, the reality is you've still got many, many people within Iran who are hardliners and who will continue to fight and undermine a democratic Iran. Does this mean that for the next foreseeable future, whether Iran, no matter what happens with the war with the United States, maybe Israel, yes, they might be able to protect themselves, but that the people of Iran are destined for decades of strife?
Well, the vast majority of the Iranian people detest and reject this death cult called on the one hand, called the mullah, or the local term is called the wiliyat al-faqih, which is the rule of the jurisprudent, which is the malacracy, if you will, the control by the religious establishment. Now, that control has largely been destroyed, could be, as it's known, as Mujtaba, the son of Ali Khamenei, whose funeral is this week, by the way. And just as a relevant parallel side point, look at the timing of this attack of the regime on the three commercial ships transiting. In the middle of the most consequential funeral of the supreme leader, they are sending a message to the world, and particularly to the Iranian people, that the revolution continues and that we are going to stop the greatest military power that the world has known in recent modern history. And at the same time, look at the second part of the timing of this attack. While the United States is being hosted nowhere else but in Turkey, in Ankara, at the NATO summit. So what he is done is send a very clear message to the entire world that the Iranian regime is in charge. Now, having said that, back to your question, the Iranian people, 85% of the Iranian people hate, detest, and will fight against this regime. But when they see the president of the United States, who had severely wounded this regime's military, asymmetrical, and economic capability, this regime was bleeding to death, Howard, in the Straits of Hormuz. They were losing $15 billion a month when they have a gross domestic product of $175 billion a year. They can't survive 6 or 8 months of this type of blockade. And then when the Iranian people see the United States take their foot off the blockade gas pedal, if you will, they say, we can't trust, say the Iranian people, we cannot trust the United States. How can we trust it? How can we trust Europe? How can we trust any major Western power that is now legitimizing the regime through this MOU, sacrificing the Iranian people, by the way, 40 to 50,000 at least of whom were massacred by the regime itself in just single days. And one has to ask oneself, by the way, just in service of sympathies to the Iranian people, where the heck is the international community?
Absolutely.
Where are the massive, right? Where are the massive so-called human rights people in South Africa or in America or
please.
In Europe?
Yeah,
everyone is silent.
They have shown themselves to
atrocious.
Be who they really are. They don't.
Yeah, no, we have to raise this point.
Right.
We have
Absolutely
to raise this point.
Right.
It's atrocious.
That is where we do need to leave it. Thank you, as always. And just enjoy your time in London. What an amazing, amazing experience, and great for you to be there. Dr. Dan Dyker, president of the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom.